Hey everyone. Hey everyone. How's it going? Well, far out, I'm groovy too. I was just explaining to my 10-year-old this weekend how there used to be a commercial for a double CD called Freedom Rock, and they had these two actors dressed up like ridiculous hippies. And they have a boombox between them, and one of them goes, "Hey man, is that Freedom Rock?" And the other man goes, "Yeah, man." And then the first guy goes, "Well, turn it up, man." And it got me walking around all day talking like that. "Hey Finley, you want some Lucky Charms, man? Well, get me the milk, man." Anywho, just a little tale. Today's guest is an interesting guest. There is something going on in Russia that many people don't know about. For the average American audience, when you hear of the religious organization Jehovah's Witnesses, many of you probably think about those people who show up and knock at your door on a Saturday morning. They have found their way into our cultural conscience in movies. There's a famous scene in the Friday movie when two Jehovah's Witness women knock on Ice Cube's door and he sort of closes the door in their face, and the one woman goes on a profanity-laden tirade about it. It's funny because most people also might know that Jehovah's Witnesses tend to be a bit G-rated in their speech. They try their best to refrain from using profanity. It's part of their adherence to some of the biblical principles about abusive or obscene speech. So it's kind of a funny scene in the movie. But what is happening in Russia is no laughing matter. My guest is called today Anton Chevchelov. He is a Russian citizen currently living outside of Russia, and he is a copywriter who keeps a number of blogs. And I'll have his blog site in the show notes if you're interested, though you'll probably need to use the translation button, Google's translation options to read it. He writes in Russian, so the blog is kept in Russian. And one of the things he's covering is what is happening in Russia with Jehovah's Witnesses. Many people may not be aware of this, but Russia, the Russian Federation, has a pretty robust and well-written constitution that, among other things, does allow for a much broader freedoms when it comes to freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of religion. And what I mean, much broader meaning compared to what Russia used to be under the Soviet system. Obviously, under the Soviet Union, none of those freedoms existed. But my guest today was born and raised in the Soviet system, witnessed its collapse, and lived in the Russian Federation when they reformed and developed their constitution. And their constitution is vastly different, at least in those respects, from what the Soviet quote-unquote constitution would have called for. However, a number of years ago, politicians in Russia developed civil and criminal laws that, on the surface, attempt to curb the rise of extremist groups. So they began to peel back some of those freedom protections when it came to groups that promoted what they viewed as extremist views. And I guess the spirit behind this was that they were concerned with radical religious or political extremists, maybe even racial or religious separatists, recruiting and exerting their influence over the citizenry. So for about four years ago, they passed Article 282 of the Criminal Code. 282.2 of the code has this language that pertains to the illegality of, quote, extremist groups. And they describe them as, promoting violence, promoting supremacy or superiority, or promoting separatism. And then the Russian government developed a list of organizations that it felt could be described as having these characteristics. And most of them were, white supremacist, Aryan, Muslim terrorist groups. But in 2017, Jehovah's Witnesses were added to that list. When that list was created, it basically dissolved Jehovah's Witnesses as a recognized religious organization in Russia. So it suspended their usual activities, essentially made their organization an outlawed organization. And since that list was created, the Russian version of the FBI, I think they call themselves the FSB. They've been carrying out sting operations and raids on homes to round up Jehovah's Witnesses, bring them to trial, and in some cases imprison them for a number of years. Some witnesses who have been hauled off the jail are as old as 90, and some of them also lived under the Soviet regime. Under the Soviet regime, Jehovah's Witnesses ran afoul of them because they refused to serve in the armed forces, and they refused also to pledge allegiance to the Soviet cause and all that. They received a pension from the government for their awful, unlawful persecution after the Soviet system collapsed. So they actually created a pension system to sort of recompensate people who were persecuted under the old Soviet system. Some of the Jehovah's Witnesses that are now sitting in jail are receiving pension payments for having been mistreated by the Soviet government while sitting in jail. So it's really wild what's happening over there. Not a lot of people realize what's going on, especially over here in America. And my guest has been documenting what's happening on his blog. Russia, by the way, are members of the Council of Europe and a party to the European Convention on Human Rights. And by doing this, they are in violation of the convention's commitment to freedom of expression and religion, but they don't care. They do what they want, and they haven't really suffered any political or economic repercussions for this. Vladimir Putin said he was unaware of what the FSB is doing, but he said he would look into it. That was a few years ago. He's never spoken publicly about it again, and it is still going on. My guest, Anton, says some cases have shown that the FSB is abusing these people, using electric shock on them, coercing them to renounce their faith, planting evidence, the whole nine yards. So please enjoy my conversation with my guest and check out the show notes if you want to get involved in this at all. Some of you might be hearing about this for the first time. Here he is, my guest, Anton Chivchelov. Like a Hellcat. Are you a lawyer?
No, I'm a translator.
Oh, okay.
And copywriter.
Gotcha. Okay.
And blogger.
I'm reading your blog. I've been translating some of it. I'm trying to read through some of it.
Yeah, I have a few blogs. One of them, and first of them, was just a biblical project where I share some thoughts about religion and Bible and Christianity.
Uh-huh.
And I started covering these problems with Jehovah's Witnesses in more recently,
uh-huh,
after that ban.
Yeah.
Actually, even a year before the ban in 2016.
Right. My question is, could you then, you're in a good position. First of all, I'm not quite sure how old you are, but you a citizen under the Soviet regime, like under Gorbachev?
I'm 41, and I was born in the Soviet Union.
Okay. So you're familiar with, you were there during the transition, during, I guess, what they would call the collapse, 89, 90?
Yeah, I remember those events.
Yeah. So then I think maybe you could start a little from the beginning, if you can a little bit. My first question, I guess, is does the Russian Federation have anything in their constitution that protects freedom of religion or freedom of speech, anything close to like what might be translated?
Yes, of course.
No, go ahead.
Of course, the Russian constitution is considered one of the best documents regarding rights and freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
And especially we have Article 28, which says that each person has a right to freely confess any religion, and collectively and individually. So this right is grossly violated now,
mm-hmm,
with connection of Jehovah's Witnesses, and actually not only them. There are various persecuted groups in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Not all are thrown to prison like Jehovah's Witnesses, but many groups have serious problems. They are fined, the buildings are destroyed by authorities. They have problems with registration and so on. This is a gross violation of Russian constitution itself.
Problems with registration, explain that.
Religious groups should be registered with authorities, and sometimes they're denied these rights, and they have problems because of that, legal problems.
Gotcha. So Irina Yarovaya, does that sound that?
Yeah.
So in
Go
ahead. Yeah.
Now it's a bit better, but a few years ago, many Protestant groups had problems. But those were more administrative cases. They were fined, but this is not a criminal code legislation.
Okay.
Yarovaya laws, it wasn't applied to Jehovah's Witnesses. We had a very, very few cases with Jehovah's Witnesses with that law. Very few cases. Jehovah's Witnesses are mostly covered by the anti-extremism legislation, which is a criminal legislation.
Right.
You may get up to 10 years in prison.
Now, what Irina Yarovaya had introduced, like in 2016 time period, that wasn't meant to be a criminal code?
No, it was administrative code, only fines, like $100. Many Protestant groups had problems with this Yarovaya law. Actually, it wasn't a separate law. It was an appendix to an existing law of freedom of religion. We have a so-called law of freedom of consciousness. And it was a few parts were added to that law, which made it very difficult to comply. Now I think it's better. I think the police and courts, they softened in some way the application of this law, because we don't hear about many problems and issues with the Yarovaya law now, as it was a few years ago.
I see. So this is something separate. This Article 282, I think, is the criminal part is has taken over as the bigger problem.
Yes, Jehovah's Witnesses and Yarovaya's law are very different things.
Okay. What are some ways that they, so from what I understand, they've been, so what have they done? They've categorized Jehovah's Witnesses as an extremist group. Can you explain that?
The core of this problem is the so-called anti-extremism legislation. Or actually the misuse of this legislation, misapplication. In Russia, we have an anti-extremism law, which says that you can't promote religious hatred, strife, and you can't promote any kind of hatred based on religion.
Yeah.
A 10 or 15 years ago, it was an important part in this law that you should call to violence. Until you don't call to violence, it's okay. But then they removed this part from this law, and now even if you don't call to violence, you may be considered an extremist in Russia. All which is necessary for this result is to have an expert study. For example, you may use or read some book, and some expert will say that this is an extremist book because this book promotes hatred. If you read it, you are extremist. And I can give you a couple of very interesting examples. I wrote them down of the mechanism based on which Jehovah's Witnesses were declared extremist on the basis of the study of their publications. There were a number of such publications, and starting in 2009, they were considered extremist by courts. And you will wonder why. For example, here is a quote from one Watchtower magazine issue. Quote, "Whatever the case, although Josiah was only a child," Josiah is a Hebrew king from the Bible. Sure. Although Josiah was only a child, he was old enough to know that he should make friends with people who serve Jehovah. This is a quote. Yeah. And this is what the expert study says. By saying you need to make friends with those, the text implies that at the same time, you don't need to make friends with others.
Oh, goodness.
This is the hidden propaganda of this court based on religious affiliation. A negative attitude towards people who do not share faith in Jehovah is being promoted. Based on this, so you need to make friends with good people. Based on this, this magazine is called Extremist. And the second quote, the quote, Greek Orthodox priests and their supporters tried to gain entrance to the site, meaning the Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses, mm-hmm. worship building, entrance to the site and disrupt our work. But Jehovah heard our prayers and we were safeguarded. Now, which is what is the expert study says? There is a negative image of the clergy who tried to prevent the construction of a branch of the Society of Jehovah's Witnesses in Greece. In this episode, the clergy appear as insidious and dishonest people. The text contains no examples of the righteous behavior of the clergy. All information about them is negative, which indicates an attitude towards creating a negative image of clergy as a whole, as a social group. So this is just two examples of many of them.
Yeah.
You so see,
because they accurately described what could only be regarded, and I've seen videos of this in Greece, where it could be regarded as a group of thugs that came in and just started pushing over tables and disrupting somebody else who's rightfully constructing something. They didn't publish that. They didn't write about them in a positive light. So that makes them extremist.
Yeah. So yeah. When you just state the fact, because this is a fact of history, that some clergy try to disrupt some building. This is a fact. When you state it, you are extremist. When you say that it's good to make friends with those people who love God, it's again, you see, so very innocent things that can be applied to any religion. Yeah. So this legislation is very selective. It's only applied to those religious groups who are considered unwanted, unwelcome by the authorities. This is just a mechanism. And based on this mechanism, it was a three-step process. First, religious publications were banned, a few dozens of them, based on such grounds. Second, local religious communities of Jehovah's Witnesses were banned because they used this literature, these publications. Mm-hmm. And three, the national headquarters of Jehovah's Witnesses was banned because it was like an umbrella organization over all those local ones. It was in 2017. This was just the final step, but the process started earlier.
Mm-hmm. Now, are the Jehovah's Witnesses the only Christian organization? I understand there's like a list. No, do they have a list of who is considered an extremist group? Or
Jehovah's Witnesses is the only Christian denomination in Russia who is now considered extremist. Mm-hmm. There are a few others, but they are mostly Muslim, mm-hmm. or something like that.
So you can take that sort of, I mean, and that was one of my questions, I guess, was what are the ways that the government is kind of getting around the freedom of speech and religion laws that are on the books in the Russian Federation? And that, but you could take that interpretation, Domus, any religion that declares to be a true religion could fall under that category. No, I mean, just what religion doesn't say they have the right position or the right interpretation? Of
right, holy. And you are absolutely right in this, and this is what all real experts say in courts, what all religious scholars say, because this is a very universal definition of any religion. Any religion, to some extent, think they are either right or most right or most true, and so on. So this can be applied to any religion, even to the Orthodox Church, if there is a political will to do it.
Yeah. And that I guess I was thinking along those lines. Is it possible, or have you unearthed any evidence that there's there's another entity involved in this, in pushing this, you know, particularly targeting Jehovah's Witnesses? Is it coming perhaps from the Orthodox Church, or is it coming from another organization that essentially just wants to kind of stamp down the competition?
It's very difficult to pinpoint, to find those people who are in charge of this process. Very difficult. And it's, I think, number one question that I'm always asked: why are Jehovah's Witnesses persecuted in Russia? And in fact, nobody knows. I think very few people in Russia can answer this question, whether it's the Russian Orthodox Church, whether this is FSB or something like that, because there are different theories. Okay. But nobody knows for sure. And nobody tells Jehovah's Witnesses what exactly they need to change, what they need to fix to get rid of this problem and to finally to get legalized in Russia. They don't know what's the problem.
Yeah. That's, and if I may, it sounds to me, and I think we have this in our country sometimes as well, where there's an attempt, the spirit behind which something is done, a law is passed or something, is sometimes can be done in a good spirit, meaning that the intentions that are there are good. What's that famous quote? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So there are. It sounds to me like what they did was the government created this anti-extremist law to try to protect citizens against, I guess, violent extremists or extremists who would go out and try to radicalize people. And so it's like it's an attempt to try to tamp down the amount of people who are getting radicalized and striking out violently and maybe committing violent acts, which just about every country in the world has been affected by. And so it has like this good intention to it, but then it all ultimately always gets misapplied. It seems like, especially when it comes to issues of freedom of speech, freedom of expression. I think over in our country, we're having right now a pretty serious and maybe even overdue racial reckoning right now. And I'm hearing rumblings so far now of like the country looking towards England or the UK for some of their speech laws, because some of their speech laws are a little more stringent than ours in terms of what they would consider hate speech, where you could be fined, for example. But the intention behind it is good. We want to limit the amount of people who are saying hateful things, but it almost ultimately automatically always gets misapplied. And is that kind of what is happening here?
Yeah, this is a misapplication. Mm-hmm. And all the experts say this is a problem of misapplication and misuse of the anti-extremist legislation. Because initially, yes, it was like with very good intentions, especially in its first version, when it had calls for violence. Mm-hmm. Of course, all sane people understand that it's wrong to call for violence to anybody. And Jehovah's Witnesses in particular have a very strong reputation across the world as very peaceful people. They never call for violence. And it's universally known that they don't serve in army. They don't involve in violent sports like boxing. But then they removed this part about calls for violence, and many were very concerned about this because now it was a grounds for misuse and abuse of this. So exactly this happened what many were afraid of. It started a large-scale abuse of this. And Jehovah's Witnesses is just one example. Mm-hmm. There are many groups that suffer to some extent from the same law. Mm-hmm. And many say that this law should be corrected because this is the core of the problem.
Yeah, so it sounds like once they started to look beyond the call for violence, it's eerie because it's very similar to what, there are some similarities to what's happening here, not on the scale at all, not at all on the level. No one's being imprisoned, but there is this sort of converging or emerging idea that speech is violence, that words are violence. And, you know, so that we're expanding our definition of violence to include these other things. It sounds like once they started to look beyond just I think you would have a difficult time finding any Jehovah's Witness literature that calls for any citizen to take up arms in any situation. Right. So they've removed that and they've said, well, your conversation about maybe only associating with one another is a form of violence.
Yeah.
What are some of the methods that law enforcement is using over there? Do you know, like, are they using wiretaps, surveillance? Do they get tips? What do you know?
All of these things, wiretaps, surveillance, video surveillance at homes. One couple, a husband and wife, who lived in a studio apartment, they had video surveillance for about 6 months in Russia. Just imagine. So this is universally used. Also, there are people who pretend that they are sincerely interested in the Bible and they ask questions. And when they talk with you about the Bible, they make the audio recording of everything. Then they go to FSB and put everything that, and it's a basis for charging you criminally. Just ordinary discussion about the Bible. Wow. This will be a basis of your indictment. So all these things.
So law enforcement agents are essentially going undercover and doing like sting operations.
Yes.
And they could be interested. Wow.
Yeah, FSB. Like FSB.
Go ahead.
The FSB is heavily involved in this process. Heavily.
What is the FSB? Explain that.
FSB is a federal state security agency. It's like FBI in the US. And they think many of them, I don't know how many of those people really, really think Jehovah's Witnesses are serious criminals, but to a large extent, they think so. They really think so, and they do a lot of things. They may beat Jehovah's Witnesses. They may. We have cases of torture, also planting of extremist literature. This is also that they very like to do. They take a book, which is considered extremist, a Jehovah's Witnesses book, but Jehovah's Witnesses stopped using this book. They are again very law abiding. After some publication is banned, Jehovah's Witnesses stop using it. But they take it and they plant it into your apartment while you're away or in some other way, or just during a search. They may plant it, put it to your shelf, and find it during a search. So this is the ground for a criminal case immediately and automatically, and you won't prove anything in court.
So let me get that right. So the Jehovah's Witnesses in Russia, they play by the rules to the point where they go that, like, if the court says, I don't know, this book on Daniel's prophecy is extremist and you can't use it, the Jehovah's Witnesses over in Russia will actually say, fine, we won't use it anymore.
Exactly.
They'll put it out of circulation, but then law enforcement will come and will actually drop a copy of that book on the site so that they can, as a pretext.
Exactly. We had a wave of planting of literature. Jehovah's Witnesses had lists of their own literature in their kingdom halls that they shouldn't use anymore. They stop using this literature the same day when it's considered extremist. But what they do, they take our own literature, they plant it into our kingdom halls, into the buildings, and then they go there, find it, and the whole organization in this city is banned because of this operation. This is covert operations, and this was the way several organizations in several cities were banned.
Go ahead.
Media in other countries, they talk only about 2017, but this process started earlier, starting from 2010. There were a wave of planting literatures and closure of local religious organizations of Jehovah's Witnesses, and the most used pretext was this. And 2017 was just a final period in this.
Some of this has to remind you maybe of the old regime, or maybe at least remind your parents of the old regime. Or was the old regime never really change much?
Yeah, it's very ironic that what we have now is very in some aspects is very close to what they did in the Soviet Union. Jehovah's Witnesses were enemies of state, and they were anti-human. They were very bad titles. Now they are extremists. By the way, Jehovah's Witnesses were first called extremists in Russia in something, I think, 1981. So even in the Soviet Union, they were known as extremists by the authorities. Actually, nothing changed, but just some words and some formulas in the laws.
So yeah, it has some roots, then. It has some deeper roots than just the Federation.
Yeah, the methods are much the same. They like reinvented, and also the irony is what many Jehovah's Witnesses were rehabilitated, and they received documents of rehabilitated persons from the political repressions of the Soviet regime. And now the same people with these documents are again repressed for the same reason.
Oh goodness!
And imagine they even receive a pension. Compensation each month. This is about 2,000 rubles. And these people, in theory, such a person may get jailed for being a Jehovah's Witness, and he will receive this compensation in prison
for having been rehabilitated. So let me get. Yes. So there was a period under the Soviet regime where you would get rehabilitated. Right.
It was 1991 after the collapse of the Soviet Union.
Oh, I see.
So many Jehovah's Witnesses were rehabilitated. They received documents, and they were they received starting compensation, which continues up to now. And I myself know these people who receive these compensations each month. And now nothing protects them from getting imprisoned for the same reason as 30 years ago.
Oh my goodness, that they're still collecting money from.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now, is there an incentive, do you know, over there? Is there been, because another thing that I always learned a little bit about with Russian history was that sometimes they incentivized neighbors to, you know, sort of rat out their neighbors, you know, to inform on their neighbors. Is that happening as well? Is there an incentivized program or anything?
I didn't hear about a very large scale program, but there were some cases when they used neighbors as witnesses to inform the police.
And you're saying that in some cases, some of these, how are the witnesses being treated when they're taken into custody? Are they being forced to get, like the beatings and stuff like that? Is that for confession purposes? Are they trying to get a confession? Or is it just a bit of fun on their part, you know, to try to intimidate?
They are pressed. They are intimidated. They are psychologically pressed to confess that they are extremists.
Okay.
First of all, to give out data and information on other Jehovah's Witnesses in the area, contacts, names, and so on. And in some cases, they are also physically beaten. It doesn't happen very often, but still. And the most gross case of this was about almost 2 years ago in February 2019, when about seven people were tortured with electric shocks during interrogations. It lasted for a few hours. And they were asked to confess they are extremists and to give out information on others.
Wow.
Usually this is happening.
You've got to imagine that, you know, you've got young or youngish military personnel, law enforcement personnel who have, you know, who are enforcing this law that has essentially labeled a group of people enemies, potentially violent extremists, and then giving them a billy club or electric shot or, you know, giving them weaponry. You have to imagine that there's going to be widespread opportunity for all kinds of abuses to take place. just by labeling somebody an extremist or a group an extremist, you're a form of dehumanization, no?
Yeah.
No, it's really frightening.
I'm sorry, one interesting part is that usually you can quit very and stop all this very easily if you sign that you renounce your faith, that you are not a Jehovah's Witness anymore. And sometimes, in some cases, interrogators, they themselves offer this opportunity to Jehovah's Witnesses. Just put a sign and you are free to go. And almost nobody does that. And the same thing was in the Soviet Union, and the same thing was in the Nazi Germany, when Jehovah's Witnesses were the only group that could easily get free from the concentration camps if they renounced their faith in written form.
Right.
So these things are now happening again in Russia.
Oh my goodness.
Which already again shows that it's the purest form of repression for belief or religion. It's not something connected with violence or real crimes. It's only about religion, only about your faith. Because no other group of criminals can sign some document and go free. Only Jehovah's Witnesses can do this.
Yeah, you can't say I'm not a thief anymore. I renounce.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Are they arresting children as well? I know sometimes families are getting. Are they arrest? Because I know that the Jehovah's Witness organization is very active. Sometimes the youngsters are even more active than the adults in terms of like preaching and publicly proclaiming their faith and whatnot. So are they being do you know what's happening there with young ones?
They don't get arrested, but they may be interrogated and. Sometimes police went to schools to interrogate some minors, but minors are not arrested and criminally charged. The youngest people who are now under trials are 19 years old.
Okay, so people as young as 19 are standing trial.
Yes, 19 to over 90. The oldest extremist, I think, in the world is a woman from Russia who is over 90.
Wow.
He can barely walk, but she's an extremist.
She must be stopped. You mentioned something about the press. What is the press over there? The press over here has been terrible about it because I haven't really read too much. I did a little bit of digging on my own, and I found there's some organizations like the Human Rights Watch that have been, they published numerous articles about what's been happening in Russia. But over here, like nothing really in the New York Times or the LA Times. What is the press in Russia or even in the surrounding sovereign countries saying about this? Like, is it getting a lot of press coverage?
We have press coverage when we have major events, like somebody is imprisoned or torture. There is an explosion of media coverage, but media in Russia is very diverse. There are federal government-sponsored media who are always very negative towards all religious minorities, not only Jehovah's Witnesses, because in Russia only Orthodox Church is good. All the rest are bad. This is a very easy white and black picture of federal state media. But more independent, more human rights-oriented media, of course, are far more objective, about the same as what you have.
So it's hard to imagine that the Orthodox Church isn't somehow behind some of this.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They. And really, what is the strongest argument that the press has made that in favor of this? Is there one? What is the strongest argument that could be made that what they're doing is right?
Who is doing is right?
That what the government is doing is right by cracking down on Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well, they use some well-known myths in Russia, like it's a very dangerous sect or cult, very dangerous. They may steal your money, they may rob you of everything, or they will kill you and so on. So media play a very important role in demonizing Jehovah's Witnesses in portraying them like a organized criminal group, like a mafia. This process started a long time ago, more than, I think, 20 years ago in Russia.
The
media is also responsible. Part of the responsibility is on the media.
What news we do get over here really tends to focus on one particular person, which I find interesting, but a guy named Dennis Christensen. He's a Dutch citizen.
Yeah, he was the first to get imprisoned in Russia. He lived in Russia for a few years, but he is a Danish citizen, yeah.
And what is his status? Do we know? Because from what I understand, he was sentenced to 6 years, right? Now, because I think, right, because he's a leader of the organization, like that's another thing. Don't they differentiate? Like if you're a leader of the organization, I think your penalty is more harsh. And correct me if I'm wrong about that, but that's what I understood. And that he's a leader or an elder of the congregation. So he was sentenced to 6 years. After 3 years, he was supposed to be released. And then now they're saying that he committed all kinds of violations while in jail. So they're keeping him in jail for the full 6 years. Is that anything I get wrong?
Yeah. He was one of the elders. Each congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses has a few elders.
Right.
He was one of them, but it's very far from being a leader.
Hmm.
He wasn't the most important or the most on the top person of Jehovah's Witnesses in his city. He was just one of them. And it's very difficult to understand why they separated him from the rest and put him under such a strong term, mm-hmm. prison term. Maybe because he was a foreigner, I don't know. And yes, he was accused with false accusations, like, for example, he smoked in a wrong place in the prison, they say. But it's well known that Jehovah's Witnesses don't smoke. So they put all kinds of false accusations on him just to stop him from being released, from granting him early release.
Oh, that's interesting. So they accused him of smoking in the wrong place, but Jehovah's Witnesses don't smoke as a matter of their faith.
Yeah, another accusation
how do you get that wrong? It's like accusing a Muslim extremist of drinking on the job.
They planted a knife in his shelf. And his other accusation, his violation of the rule, was having a knife. Also, they accused him of wearing a wrong shirt, a wrong piece of wear at some place. And he even didn't know that it was wrong because nobody knew. So it were all the things just to portray him as a violator of prison rules.
Now, why hasn't the Dutch government intervened on his behalf? Because that what I found fascinating is that he's...
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I know in America, we get very... In the States, we get very, very agitated even when our citizens commit a legitimate crime overseas and they get held in prison. The embassy is immediately notified and is usually a push to get them released. So I just was curious why the Dutch government hasn't stepped in to say, give us our citizen back. You know, this is ridiculous.
The Dutch, somebody from Dutch embassy attended trials on Dennis Christensen, and there was good media coverage in Denmark. But that's all, I think.
So where is it right now? And is this, from what I understand, the Russian Federation does have like a Supreme Court. They have a court system. Or there have to be arguments being presented in courts now to try to get this overturned somehow. What's the strategy? Do you know? Go ahead.
The current stage, this is heard now in the European Court of Human Rights. All stages, all courts in Russia are now finished and complete, and this case can't be heard in Russia anymore. So now it's in the European Court of Human Rights, and the European Court, it's expected that it may have a decision even before the end of this year or in the beginning of the next year. And there are dozens, more than 40 cases of Jehovah's Witnesses in Russia in the European Court now.
So here's my question. If the European Court declares that this is, you know, a violation, is the Russian government then obliged to listen to the European Court, or can they just ignore the ruling and go about their business as a sovereign country? Do you know that?
On paper, Russia is the member of the European Council, and she has to abide by the European Court. But formally, in practice, we know that Russia had a history, a very recent history of disobeying the European Court.
Okay.
So there is a possibility that it will ignore this decision as well. There is a possibility.
Now, the strategy in Russia, I mean, they've exhausted all their options. It can't be heard anymore in Russia. But was the strategy just to get Jehovah's Witnesses removed from the list? Or was the strategy to overturn that extremist law entirely, the Bill 282?
The lawyers that help Jehovah's Witnesses now, they focus on proving that the accusations toward these specific people are wrong. Because accusations are really wrong. And this is the main strategy now. Jehovah's Witnesses are usually very apolitic and they don't try to change laws.
If all the
options are exhausted, and if Russia ignores the European Court decision, I think lawyers will just continue helping those people from getting imprisoned, or trying to soften their terms from imprisonment to fine or to probational sentence.
Yeah,
and the majority of Jehovah's Witnesses, they get fines and probational sentences. Real prison terms are rare now in Russia.
Okay.
So this will continue, I think, this line of defense.
Yeah, they'll just specifically defend each case. They're not necessarily going to try to lobby to have the laws changed.
Yeah, because you see, these accusations, they are actually wrong, because formally the accusation against Jehovah's Witnesses is that they are members of the closed or liquidated legal bodies. Because it's very important to understand that the Supreme Court in 2017 didn't ban the religion of Jehovah's Witnesses. It's their beliefs, their practices, and so on. It's not prohibited to be a Jehovah's Witnesses in Russia. They liquidated only a number of legal organizations, namely 300, 96 legal organizations. They are considered extremist and they are banned. And what courts do now in Russia, when they see any Jehovah's Witness, they automatically consider him a member of this organization, which is almost never true. The vast majority of Jehovah's Witnesses in Russia were never members of these organizations. They are just individual physical believers. So this accusation is wrong in itself. Because if we strictly and correctly apply what the Supreme Court said in 2017, nobody should go to prison and nobody should get fined. Because even the Supreme Court said that physical persons will not get persecuted, they will not get charged. This is only about organizations. These organizations, they don't exist anymore. And the vast majority of Jehovah's Witnesses have never been their members. So this is what the attorneys of Jehovah's Witnesses tried to prove in courts. They say he was not a member of this extremist banned organization. So this is just no grounds for the indictment.
I see.
They should be freed immediately, and the case should be closed. So this is what they, and in some cases this works. In some cases, courts returned the case to the prosecution because it was made with violations, because this is a violation.
They're essentially just saying, because now you're persecuting a person for their just personal belief or their personal faith. Yes. if they're not legally a member of any organization.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I understand Vladimir Putin has been questioned about this process, and he said that he would, last I read, he said he would need to look into it before commenting. What is Putin's role or position about this?
Again, this is a great mystery. After that comment, I think it has been about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing changed, and it was his last comment on this. He didn't comment anything after that. Nothing changed, and persecution even increased A very short time after he made that comment, we had the first cases of torture. And nobody knows his real attitude, his real thoughts on this. Nobody knows. Nobody even knows what exactly he knows and what he doesn't know. Maybe he's misinformed himself. Mm. There is a theory that Putin is fed with very hand-picked information on everything in Russia, including Jehovah's Witnesses, including religion, and he just doesn't know the full picture. But again, this is also theories, and we don't know for sure.
Oh, I see. Okay. What can people do, like over in the States? Is there an organization that people can write letters to? Is it a what can be done for people who live outside of this situation to try to help resolve this?
Many write letters to prisoners.
Okay.
There are addresses online on websites. You can write a letter. I think it's all that you can do, especially if you live in another country.
Okay.
You can. We had a campaign. Millions of people wrote letters to Putin, to the Prime Minister, to the Chairman of the Supreme Court in 2017. And nothing worked.
Oh goodness. Yeah, because there are some organizations that seem to be hovering around this, and there's even been some push to try to have Russia removed from a UN committee that deals with human rights because of these violations. Mm-hmm. So I was just curious if there's like an organization out there that's taking up a fund for their legal fees and things of that nature, but it's being treated more on an individual level.
There are many decisions of various international bodies, very good decisions. Mm-hmm. There is a UN working group of human rights or something like that, or an arbitrary detention working group. But the problem is that Russia ignores everything. They just ignore everything. Yeah. We do what we want. You see, being I don't know whether it's having nuclear weapons or being the biggest country in the world, but Russia has a very interesting stance. They do what they want.
Yeah. Yeah, that's they've got a long history of that, I think. Yeah, America's not much different, you know. we have a lot of do as I say, not as I do that goes on. I just worry, you know, I'm fascinated because I worry that this kind of loose interpretation of things like extremist and hate can really lend itself towards being applied and misapplied to a lot of people who belong to, you know, God knows what different identity group they might belong to, organization or otherwise, religious or otherwise. So I just worry that, you know, this kind of insidious thinking can seep into other countries that maybe are a little more liberal. And before you know it, you've got this happening all over the world. You know, it's a real concern.
Yeah. And you know, Russia has broke a few records. Russia became the first and only country in the world who considers Jehovah's Witnesses extremist. Mm-hmm. Russia is the only country in the world who banned a single Bible translation, because Jehovah's Witnesses Bible translation is also considered extremist and it's banned. Even in Muslim countries, this book is not banned. Even in North Korea, even in Afghanistan, and so on and so forth. So Russia is doing very unique things now on the world scale.
Yeah, it goes back again. It gnaws at me, that motivation. Who benefits from this? What's the motivation? That's the real mystery, you know?
It's a mystery.
Yeah. There's one other question I wanted to ask about that, and it just popped out of my head now. What was it now I wanted to ask? Yeah, I can't remember now. It'll come. It might come. The laws that are on the books right now are basically essentially they're holding still. I didn't realize that across the country, across Russia, there's no more of these. The cases are just being held as individual criminal cases. There's nothing being argued about anymore in front of Supreme Courts in terms of freedom of expression, you're saying, right?
The Supreme Court closed this case, and the appeal panel closed this case in 2017, and everything was closed, and now it's on the stage of individual persecution of individual believers.
Mm.
And it's 3 years after that, there are hundreds of criminal cases. If you are interested in statistics,
mm-hmm.
maybe just some numbers.
Please.
There are 185 criminal cases, but real people are more because there are cases with a few people. 417 people persecuted totally, more than 400.
Wow.
42 are already in prison, not just colonies, but also pre-trial detention. And more than 1,200 searches have been made across Russia. So it's a real war. You know, the state declared a war on Jehovah's Witnesses, and it's continued for 3 years. Yeah. Nobody knows where it will lead. Nobody knows whether it will increase or decrease.
And what is the status of their, that was my question, what is the status of like their preaching work? They obviously don't go door to door, right? Is it still conducted? Yeah, go ahead.
Mostly they stopped door to door ministry, and especially because of the coronavirus now.
Oh, right, right.
But you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, they do what they always did. And it's impossible to make them stop doing what they do. Nobody succeeded in that. The Nazi Germany didn't succeed. The Stalin didn't succeed. And Putin won't succeed. Because they're very resolute people in this. So they will continue talking to others, but just they will change the form and methods.
And you said that there's a website where people could maybe write a letter to some of the people who are in prison?
Yeah, jwrussia.org.
Oh, jwrussia.org. I just wanted to take a note of that for my
I will send you in chat here.
Thank you. Yeah.
Here it is.
Ah. So people can actually go to that website and can write to.
Yeah, there is an English version now.
Ah, let me copy that. That's interesting.
So it's an official website of Jehovah's Witnesses in Russia.
Are you in contact with anybody who's in prison or has been released from prison that you're not?
Imprisoned, no, but I have friends among some who are now on trial in the city of Kirov. I have friends there.
Uh-huh.
And their cases are now in the active stage, heard in the courtroom.
Oh wow! And then friends, yeah. So they're still waiting on that trial. So you're waiting to hear what's going to happen to your friends.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Wow. Well, let's hope it goes well with that and with your friends. We'll be thinking about them. But I'd like to. I'll probably share that website if I can in my show notes to let any of my listeners know that they could maybe write a letter. Maybe give them some encouragement. If they could.
Thanks for what you are doing. This is very, very important.
No problem. Thank you for talking to me, Anton Shevchev. I appreciate it.
Thank you too.
All right. That's all, everybody. Stay tuned next week. We'll probably talk a little bit more about some of the other things that are happening, any new developments that take place. Other than that, I will see you all next week.